In John's gospel today, the weeping of Jesus is not sentimental. It's not a moment of sentimentality, but a true and deep weeping for Lazarus. He weeps for himself because he knows what is going to come. And he weeps for the reality of death in general because he knows that death separates us and that death traumatizes us. It's beyond fathomable, beyond anything that we can get through. Jesus weeps for what death does in our lives and what it in fact brings to our lives. To contextualize this, maybe he weeps even more with the death that we've had to deal with in this last year. This narrative shows its characters sitting in the trauma of death: Mary, Martha, and even Jesus himself. We are there too in our immediate circles of community, family, and the wide-scale numbers of deaths since last year, which are absolutely astounding. Worldwide now at over 5 million, that might be a shy number, and over 750,000 in the U.S. alone. Grief is a foreign territory with rules all of its own. One discovers it as an unwelcome territory of being bone-tired, but unable to calm the mind and the heart to receive rest. Here, it feels that when death enters our lives, our homes, how do we begin to feel at peace and rest in that? One of the promises that Jesus makes is that we will be given rest. We know that God is vulnerable and God grieves too. God also, in the midst of grief and reality, has power, and power even over death. Walking that terrain with God is hope-filled because of what God can do and because of what God does in the midst of grief. And how does our particular tradition inform us accordingly? The tradition of observing All Saints' Day on November 1st has its origins in the early church, when Christians regularly commemorated the martyrdom of men and women on the anniversary of their death. Once persecution ceased in the early 300s, after Emperor Constantine made the Christian faith the official religion of the Roman Empire, local dioceses instituted a common feast day. This was held during the Easter season in order to ensure that all martyrs, known and unknown, were properly honored. The current date of November 1st was instituted by Pope Gregory III when he consecrated a chapel to all the martyrs in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and ordered an annual celebration. In the course of centuries following, the solemnity of All Saints came to include not only martyrs, but all of the faithful departed. In the New Testament, the word saints is used to describe the entire membership of the Christian community. And in the Collect for All Saints Day, the word elect, which we heard, is also used in a similar sense. From very early times, however, the word saint came to be primarily applied to persons of heroic sanctity whose deeds were recalled with gratitude by later generations. Scholar Derek Olson is a liturgical enthusiast who explores the spirituality through the Book of Common Prayer. He posits that our own beloved book maps out even a deeper relationship with God. And I find his articulation of our Rite One Eucharist reflects the true language of Anglicanism. These words will sound familiar to you. And we bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed in this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers in the heavenly kingdom. This is the Book of Common Prayer, page 330. This very language affirms that the saints of God are partakers in the heavenly kingdom, and also envisions a process of growth that is not ended by physical death. The pattern laid out here, then, reflects a classic threefold division. First is the church militant. That's us. We are the living. Secondly is the church triumphant. Those who are departed, who currently enjoy the fullness of God's presence. And the church expectant. This is those who are departed, who do not yet experience the full presence of God, but who will, as that process of growth is played out, and as God's promises in baptism and Eucharist are fully delivered in the final consummation of all things. So, keeping these categories in mind, the Feast of All Saints celebrates the mighty deeds of God in and through the Church triumphant. The Feast of All Souls recalls us to the Church expectant, who shall yet enjoy that final consummation. Our readings today weave a beautiful tapestry of the good news. In Isaiah, the promise that God will swallow up death, its deity that travels the earth. The image of destruction will be the victim of God's design. There will be a feast of rich food and wine whilst God wipes away the tears from all faces. This is echoed in Revelation that God will wipe away every tear and that death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more as the first things have passed away in the making of all things new. The weeping and grief of Mary, Martha, and even Jesus at Lazarus' death don't have the final say. Our faith teaches that we are the people of the resurrected Jesus who came for us and gives us hope of life beyond death. This is the new life in Christ, which only has its beginnings in our mortal lives as we experience them in the here and now. Life is not ended. It has changed. We believe this, and we claim this in our Eucharistic feast. As people of the Incarnation, we take in the body and blood of Christ to be transformed into God's people. We lean into the sorrow right alongside the joy with God's eternal promise. And in this, we can celebrate today with the saints past, present, and future, who includes us. The Holy Spirit is with us in life and with us in death, and even beyond death. God is with our loved ones as they die and move beyond this earthly life. God is with us in our grief, which is always with us. He is there in the love which is shown in the community, and his love is ever present, and it doesn't depend on our thoughts, on whether we agree or consent, whether we even understand. It doesn't depend on our religious affiliation or the creeds we say. Unbind us, Lord Christ. Set us free from all that keeps us from loving and from being loved. Give us grace to participate in your agape love, which, like you, is everywhere present and dwells in all things. I ask this in the name of the risen and ever-present Christ. Amen.